Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for your continued presence with us. Trusting, Lord, there'll be a greater realization of that same presence and what it means to us at this particular time. Yet, Lord, we are aware in a mechanical sense of the truth. And we praise that all things are in you. For, Lord, as this universe was in you, by virtue of the fact of your spoken word which brought it to pass, even so, Lord, your presence brings everything into view. What you have taught us in this last day, O God, that we might know the things of God, we might know you personally, and then find ourselves a part of it all, Lord. We appreciate that so much. We pray you'll help us in the service this morning, Lord, to receive from you what we need to receive, strength for the journey, and above all, Lord, to glorify your great and holy name, to love you, Lord, and to love each other here, and to serve you, Lord, and to serve each other. Know what it is to be a part of the family of God on earth with headship in our blessed Father himself. Lord, we know these are only vain words if we don't speak them with heartfelt sincerity, but Lord, we do as much as lies within us to speak it out, O God, and ask for your help this morning in this particular manner. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 15, the future home of the earthly bride. And it's part, of course, of the ministry of Brother Branham, which was to bring the message, the word of the Lord, for this hour before the actual resurrection and the rapture. And he told us that it was his obligation, as it was, because he was that prophet which was sent to sow the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former rain. And he did not give us an outline as to exactly what all that was going to be. But by the time his ministry was finished here on earth, he had covered all of that which was necessary, he said, which would put us into a rapture. And therefore, make accessible to us, previous to the departure from this earth, everything that God had decreed for his people, and according to his own position with those people. So one of those messages was the future home of the earthly bride, which was a more lengthy title, the future home of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom. So this is number 15, and perhaps by Wednesday we might just be able to finish it up. Now, from this message, we seem to be gathering certain insights relative to God's sovereign purpose in this matter as to information on the physical specific material or the specifications of the New Jerusalem, the future home of the earthly bride, as well as other information which is not specifically mechanical, or you might call blueprint, but has to do with other insights which are more spiritual. In other words, we'll be gaining something from this in the realm of information, and we'll be gaining from this in the realm of a spiritual impact, because this is why the message comes, is for the spiritual impact of faith. Now, the specific information is, number one, that the present earth and heavens, as we know them at this time, are to be completely and irrevocably loosed from the thraldom of sin by a fire that reduces the earth's crust in the atmosphere to gases, from which residue God will recreate and perfect a wonderful universe that can never be changed because of the personal presence of God and his divine and authoritative sovereign government. As it says that Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he's not speaking now concerning those things which went awry before this earth was form the way it is, but he's speaking of the fact that God is a sovereign being can do what he wants any time that he wants it done. And of course, you understand that God being what God said he is, then all which he does will not only be a matter of self-gratification concerning his will, his authority, but will be a matter of gratification to everything under the sovereign jurisdiction of God. In other words, a tremendous kingdom with all of God's innate nature. And remember, it can't be good and dark. In God there dwelleth neither good and evil, there dwells only good. In God there is not a purpose which is derogatory, but every purpose is defined toward good. And all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. There is a sovereign purpose that we see here. So, there is going to be a recreated heaven and earth in the near future. Now, God annihilates, of course, to institute his own perfect government, the evil one, which is Satan, and all evil and contrary things which are contrary to his will and his kingdom. In Revelation 21 and 27 it says, concerning the New Jerusalem. And verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course, the Lamb's Book of Life has to do with all of those that have the same life that the Lamb had, but not in the same quantity or with the same privileges. And you consider that God was the Father of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, nothing will be there but essentially the life of God, God himself who is life, and those to whom he imparts it, and nothing else. So you can see that it will be irrevocable. It will be a satisfactory change, what we're looking at. Number two, at the time of this recreation, God reducing all to gases, the outer crust and all, and recreating and bringing it all back. You know, science has a theory that the major building block of the universe, I think they say, is hydrogen. Yeah, hydrogen. I don't know that that's true, and I don't know anybody can prove it's true, and I'm not interested because I'm not scientifically inclined. But I do know that God is going to reduce everything to literally the invisible. He'll be in a gaseous form, and he will recreate from that what we are going to have in the future. Now, at the time of this recreation, God will raise up a mountain on this earth, and upon that mountain will descend the New Jerusalem, absolutely fabricated by God, made by God, not by us, to God's own specifications, and it will absolutely satisfy those for whom it was made. In other words, the nature of the individual will be perfectly compatible with the environment. You won't need to worry about the EPA. And that's a mighty good thing to worry about, because I tell you what, they're trying to do something and they're going about it wrong, which government always does, but they recognize there's a problem. We are not compatible with the universe, and the universe is not compatible with us, but it's going to be. See, it's going to be. That's a beautiful thing. Now, upon this mountain that God raises up upon this newly created earth, will come down the New Jerusalem, made of pure transparent gold, and also of jewels and pearls, which make up the gates and the foundation, the walls round about it, and this preamble city sitting inside of it. This city, 1,500 miles square at the base and 1,500 miles high, it'll be a veritable paradise with the river of life coming from the very throne of God and the tree of life bridging that river, getting its sustenance from it. Number three, the city will be inhabited by God, the Lamb, and the Bride, and the 144,000 who are the virgins or the eunuchs who take care of the bride as the bride ministers to the Lamb. Remember, God then ministers to all by His Holy Spirit. And as Brother Branham put it, which is so wonderful, at that time before they call, He answers. Which I'm speaking in terms of then the perfect compatibility of the people and their environment. Like Brother Branham said, before God made a fish with a fin to swim, He put a bunch of water out there. And He said, let the water bring forth the fish. Well, the water didn't bring forth the fish. You know that. It was just time that the fish should be in the water. God made them. And created in form like He did man. So you're going to see this wonderful compatibility. Now, the bride, by the way, is composed of the wise virgins of both Old and New Testament and depend on the first resurrection, of which the first half of the first resurrection has already taken place. Now, the question is, where are they? I don't know. I don't have a problem at all with that. All I want to know is, where am I going to be? We're looking for the second half of the first resurrection. Now, number four. Outside of all these elect that are in the New Jerusalem, there will be others out there, even kings. It'll be a monarchy, a real good government, like Plato once said. I think Plato once said, or was it Socrates? Imagine Plato said, the best form of government is benevolent dictatorship. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the benevolent God who is not looking out for Himself. He is looking out for us. See, like many years ago, a man one day said, I don't want to pray to God. He said, He's got enough trouble of His own. And I said, well, that's a trouble that God has, a trouble with people like you, giving them trouble because you won't bring your troubles to Him so He can solve them for you. He said, man, you got a twist on this thing. I don't understand. So all the others outside, they're the foolish virgin. They'll bring their glory in. If you want more information on that, you can find that maybe in Book 3 of Question and Answers. We're not going to have time for it, so I got much of it duplicated here if I had time to read it. Now, in this New Jerusalem, and of course flowing out across the land, is a certain ceremonial protocol which signifies peace. Because there's going to be status, and there's going to be protocol. You simply can't get away from it when you come to government. There's always the right thing to do. And, of course, in this case, always the right thing will be done. Wouldn't it be nice to get up in the morning and know for just one day the right thing was going to be done? We say, I can solve that. I'm going to stay in bed. You're quite correct. You're quite correct that that's a shortcut. But that's not going to work either. It won't work. But there's coming a time when everything will be institutionalized with God Himself, which is something wonderful to think of. And at that time, there will be kings plucking the leaves off the tree of life, perhaps many trees spread around, I don't know how much Brother Branham seemed to indicate more than one, and they will extend to others the leaf, showing their... Now, here's what you're looking at. There's a desire for peace that's fulfilled. And this is only a symbol of what you and I have desired all of our lives. Go, God, can't we just one time have some peace? No matter how good things ever are, there's always lurking in the mind, yes, but it won't continue. There's never a perfect peace in anybody. Now, I realize people say, well, I've had a perfect peace. Well, that's fine. Perfect hamburger, what are you talking about? But we're talking about something different here. We're talking about the pervasiveness, the essentiality of the person Himself. If you were omnipotent and omniscient, especially omniscient and omnipotent, wouldn't you be peaceful? You bet you would. Well, that's why He's called the God of Peace. And at that time, there is going to be the constant remembrance as there is with the Lamb, the wounds in the hands, the side, the feet, and the brow. They'll never disappear. Now, what it accomplished will never disappear. What it came against has disappeared. And now man is no longer in a state of flux. That's why Brother Branham categorically said, if you've got the wrong maid here, you get the right one there. Was he saying, well, I'm going to be married up there? No, no, no. There's no marriage in giving in marriage and resurrection. It means pure compatibility. Now, some of you folk have had wonderful marriages. I know that. You're going through wonderful marriages. You ain't seen nothing yet. What you got and I've gotten a good marriage is nice. But that's all it is. Nice. But you wait and I wait until we meet with people and all of us change. Now let's just visualize this thing and get in the spirit of it, because that's what I'm building up to. Is getting back to the essential part of the message is to get the spirit. Wouldn't it be nice if you and I could really hug each other and love each other, and there's nothing there but love with the hug and the hug with the love. Didn't have any doubts anymore. Didn't have any fears anymore. He didn't have to look on the past anymore, because you see, there's no more remembrance. Wouldn't it be nice if someone could just kind of sort of hit us on the head with a rubber mallet, doing, and sort of we pass out into a nice, happy existence. A little lobotomy, maybe. Everybody happy. Can't do it, kid. I don't care who you are. You know why? You can forget, but you can't forget. Over there, you forget. Over there, it's an entirely brand new situation. Everything's different. Brother Branham made a little comment. May help you up. He said, you and I do not remember our previous existence because we were in the genes of God, sons of God. I can't delineate too much upon it. I haven't done enough material. But he said Jesus did remember because he had his spirit body, which was a theophany. Now, he was a theophany, which purely and simply from the Greek is theophanera, which means God manifesting himself, or coming in a form which you can apprehend. We also, whether we know it or not, are theophanies. Phew, you say, what a miserable theophany. I agree 100%. I won't argue it. But over there, you see, it isn't going to be that way. All what we bypass, we catch up to. All what we left there in a seed form, we fall heir to. See? So, the emblem of peace, significant anyway. Now, as to the insight we gathered, and we're talking about it really right now, it is that we are approaching and soon will see that we are a part of the ultimate of God. Now, we were dwelling on that because as human beings, with 7,000 years of background, and you know my theory, my theory is that this business of hypnosis and regression is not what people think it is. I have this crazy little understanding, that is, I don't know if it's an understanding, theory, or my own thinking, that if I could be regressed plumb back thousands of years, which I don't intend to be, you could pull out of me, or out of you, fabulous things, because you and I are a microcosm of the entire universe. And the life that you got from your parents, they got from their parents, their parents. And I'm going to tell you, there's something to that life. What was it picking up those 7,000 years? See, I look at that. Now, because we are essentially human beings and have all this backgrounding of so much in our minds, our souls, our spirits, and so much we gathered by experience and so much by history and all these other things, we are so far into the negative that most people term what we are talking about this morning, pie in the sky, the sweet by and by, the never-never land, I was supposed to be there, but nobody knows anything about it. We're not going to get it anyway. So my question this morning to you and to me is, how real is the New Jerusalem? Let me read again my sentence. Now as to the insight, the essentiality of this message, what it's supposed to do for us, inculcate in us and bring out in us. The seed that is supposed to sow, that is necessary for this hour, the insight we gathered is this. It is that we are approaching and soon will see that we are a part of the ultimate of God. Is this the ultimate, or is it a dopey pie in the sky, never in every land, hope so but nobody gets it? Well, maybe down the road. Well, what are you going to do about it? You're looking pretty glum, some of you. I'm doing the best to smile myself. Somebody a little sleepy, you're trying to think. Now, I'm testing ourselves out. I want us to know, what is this word doing to us? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You understand? I'm not critical. I'm trying to get you to see, listen, if this is the true word of God, it's going to do something to you, and this message by Brother Branham will get you to know you are a part of the ultimate of God. This is the ultimate, not some circus. Not any other thought. You hear what I'm saying? This is it. Like we saved all our money to get this microphone. And it's the only microphone that's going to do the job. Now we get the microphone. Now you understand what I'm saying? I'm taking a little sleazy illustration to get us to understand this is the ultimate. And you know what? As sure as you sit there and I stand here, I know that our hearts are not beating in unison with the New Jerusalem. That's true. David's was. Abraham was. William Branham was. And the bride will be. I prove it. We'll never get to it. I'll be 5 or 6 more sermons on this. Forget it. All I got to do is write some notes and we're away to the races for about, what, 600 furlongs at least? Okay, listen. The ultimate. New Jerusalem is the ultimate of the ultimate God. Well, says somebody, I think maybe that he had something way back yonder and he's got something way over in the future. I want to tell you, as far as you and I are concerned, if you believe that, you are believing a lie. Your ultimate and my ultimate is New Jerusalem. And according to the Scripture, it is the ultimate of God, the ultimate of the ultimate. In other words, when you get this mic, there ain't any more. Take it or leave it. What's your attitude? I wanted a chicken sandwich. There isn't any. You get bologna. Pshaw, I don't like bologna. That's right. A lot of people don't like the New Jerusalem. You're getting it. I know you're following what I'm saying, whether you want to or not. You're getting what I'm saying. This Bible's full of men who loved it, who loved Zion. It's my home. Don't you try to bluff me out of it. Look at the Jews today with Palestine. Why would they want to be in that sleazy, cheesy country? They are nothing but a proverbial pain in the proverbial neck while they're over there. They're draining our country of money. They're making everything upset. Can't help themselves. There's something burning in them. You bet. There's a several thousand year fire. And they can't help it. Now, we look around at William Branham, prophet of God, and say, well, he couldn't help it. You and I cannot help this either when this thing gets hold of us. This is why this message was preached. As the ultimate of the ultimate. Not some yo-yo, not some game, not something you and I had fixed in our minds that we would like, but this is the ultimate. This is that kingdom that people press into. This is what Paul says, I sell everything out to get it. This is what I believe he said, I saw, but I can't tell you about it. See, this is that ultimate. Now, to realize this, what I'm talking about, is to stand with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 12. So we're going to look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's find out what they really are. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we were there and didn't even know it. Jesus was there and knew it. He didn't bypass it. We did. Now we're going to know it. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, Brother Branham did not punctuate it that way, though that is the punctuation. Let's read it both ways. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, that's what it should be. Now, having predestined us. Now, watch. And without blame before him in love. In love, having predestined us. I don't care how you read it. I don't care how you read it. You can't change it. Whether you're predestinated, whether it's before him in love we stand, or whether it's in love you're predestinated, it's all the same thing because it's all love. It's what God has predestinated. Have his unto children by the cross by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now that's what he tells you, you're his children. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he made his heaven and beloved, in whom he have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he bound the tortoise in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, that's one place, both in heaven and in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, everybody goes right along there, and they got some idea that God's going to work some little thing out in you and me, and that's going to make it beautiful to God, and he'll just take us there. I got news for you. You notice what it says down here, that we should be to the praise of his glory, first trusted in him, and all that there goes above it. So that you do not get your perfect satisfaction and show the perfect praise toward God until you and I get there, and everybody then has a lesser vision of what it is to be there. How can we have a lesser vision of the ultimate? That's what I'm screaming about this morning. We need our minds stirred up. We need our brains joggled this morning. To understand this is what we're pressing into, the new Jerusalem coming down upon earth. This is it. Now, Paul addressed the people concerning this, and he knew it's a difficult subject. So we go to 1 Corinthians. I think it's the first chapter. Yeah, beginning at verse 18. Now, Paul is speaking of this glorious gospel that ends in New Jerusalem, because without redemption, you wouldn't get it. And this is what God wanted for us, the children in one place that were in him, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which cannot be fully manifested until you get there. Well, certainly not. Why? Because that's his grace. A city that he brings down upon earth, and we say, hey, this is ours. That's yours. Come on in, kids. So, man, look at that vistas out there. Look at pure, transparent gold. A gate of one pearl. 216 feet high. Maybe 400 feet wide of pearl. And you women love those little nasty things you pick up now. But you know the value of them. And diamonds? Doesn't even mention diamonds. Rubies. Sapphires. 12 different kinds. Stones as big as a city block. Put one of them on your finger. But he allowed you to know the type down here of what's there. And if you can take a light and agitate and excite it and put it through a ruby and cause a laser to come forth, what will be that day when the light from God strikes the children of God? You haven't got a thought of what health is, and I haven't either. Well, I get up some mornings and I feel pretty good. I say, something's gone wrong. I feel good for a change. That right, Joe? Said, come on, you know it's the truth. If you know what I'm talking about. Imagine being there. Imagine being there. See, Paul knew this. Now he said, listen, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power of God. This is the same thing. What's this crazy stuff about the cross? What's this crazy stuff about pie in the sky in New Jerusalem? What's it? Well, if this is all God has, who wants it? Oh, no. This is what God has and going to do it all over again. He's going to recreate it. Same animals, same people, same everything. We'll see that. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Where's the smart guy that can argue? The sophist. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Then what about the teaching of God's word? If the gospel preaching is stupid, what is the teaching of it? Twice as stupid. Or four times as stupid, because now you're getting into the depth of it. See, I can't stand that stuff, this proper stuff. Well, that's all we can stand around here. If you can't stand that, you're in trouble, because that's all I'm going to preach. I'm sorry for it. I love you, but I'm sorry for it, and I ain't going to change for you. Now, I said, the Jews require a sign, verse 22, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wisdom of men of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise, after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, which yea hath God chosen, and yea in the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as written, let he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now it tells you right here that the person who is not a true bride member, truly born again, simply will not get the things of God. Now, I hope we're not running a sword in the middle of our church today where we're cutting people down. Now, don't feel bad, because I haven't got this spirit on me the way I intend to get it yet. I believe God's going to do it. Because I see and hear what I preached all these years. What Brother Branham preached, the properly fertilized seed, or germatized seed, that's a living seed that you know you tested through your paper, your blotting paper and stuff. Put it in there, a little bit of water. You say, aha, that seed's got life. That's a good bunch of seed there. So I put in 100 seeds and 85 germinated. Properly germatized seed. Now you put it in a properly fertilized earth. All it needs is sun and rain. It'll struggle against the weeds, but it's got a better life than the weeds got. And you know about the weeds, those stinkers out there, those weeds, they will always move towards the sun. They will always hog the water. They will always get up to get it all. They're workers. But you see, the wheat has got to depend whether it's wheat or not. He'll have a struggle, but he'll get there. Now, you see, Paul tells us here, look, you people, are you going to really understand what I'm saying? Now, it's not easy for the human being to incorporate this into his thinking and into his psyche. It's difficult. It becomes a spiritual part. But as we enter more and more into the spirit of this message, which we're trying to get to, we will see that this is what God and His Word is all about. This is what we're looking at. That's why this is one of Brother Brand's final messages. And that the heart of the gospel of grace and the message of this hour is not the escape from judgment and destruction, though that is true, but it is Ephesians 1:15-22. There's your message. Take a look at it. Now let's look at it, because I made a statement here. I want to see if I can prove it right. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 19 proves it. Wherefore also, cease not to give thanks, you making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What for? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that you may know all about New Jerusalem. You may know the hope that Jesus Himself had. You may understand it, be partaker. And what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What the name produces. What will the name of Jesus produce in this hour? New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Now, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, that's resurrection, and raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality power. That's the the rapture and the placing, the wedding supper. You see what we're looking at? That's the spirit of this thing we're looking at. Now let's keep going further. We go back to 1 Corinthians again. We'll try to put it together for you, because I don't want you to have loose thoughts on the matter. I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying here. Now watch, verse 9. But as is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared them to love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now you haven't seen them, you only know they're there. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now what is the deep thing of God? Not that the Gentiles be fellow heirs with the Jews, but that God hath a city. God has an ultimate. Absolute ultimate. And a state of immortality. You know, brother, let me ask you a question. You like to feel good. Everybody likes to feel good. I want to ask you, what do you like to feel good in? My body. Absolutely right. What do you feel good in? My mind. Absolutely right. What else? In my heart. In other words, you just want to feel good all over. Yeah, sometimes it happens, but it's the stuff out there. Right. But that's all going to change. Well, then you believe what I say. I've said many times, if this is a squeeze, give me 2,000 more years in good health. See, brother, sister, I betray myself and you betray yourself. The sons and daughters of Abraham know there is a city and they are looking for it. Now, it's nice to farm out here. That's the millennium. But up there you don't farm. I mean, down here you don't farm when after the 1,000 years. He said, well, brother, I don't think I'd like to be indolent. You won't be indolent. What would you really like to do? You know, even the grossest criminal, except for a few that are completely devils, and they are genuine serpent seed of the fact that you know they're like a pharaoh and a, you know. But they're so few. If you took anyone but a completely disturbed, distressed, and completely demonized, devil-possessed individual, you could pull out of him something that was an ideal. Even when Dillinger died, before he died, he said, look, he said, here is a man who wished no harm toward anybody and didn't want to do any evil. He was a killer. Even Pharaoh thought he was doing a good job. Now, I'm trying to get the point here. And the point is this. There isn't anyone that's not an idealist down inside somewhere. Now, what is the ideal? The ideal is what we're talking about. New Jerusalem. Let's keep reading here. We're going to get lost. Now, it says, verse 11. What man knows the things of man, says the spirit of man's in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man, spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to God. New Jerusalem is something that God did for us. Now, therefore, there has to be at some time in this world a revelation concerning this, whereby the people become a part of it, because you have got to be a part of the Word for your hour. Okay. This then goes to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, where the mighty messenger comes down. This goes to the description of Revelation at the end time where the seals were open, and there is a division. Whereas the people standing right here, and they can take the tree of life, and it says without her dogs and whoremongers and those that love a lion, so on, the same as it says about those outside under Jerusalem. So there is a people who have to stand here at the end time who are New Jerusalem, segment thereof, and they know it. And they know it almost, not quite, almost as much as those that are already risen from the dead in the Old Testament. Now, they can't know it that good, but they're going to know it pretty close. They're going to know it like no other group of people. I don't care what anybody says. That has got to be because Brother Branham lied. Because he said, I put my hand up here, the light goes to it. And the more, he said, I see a shadow on the wall. And he said, the more I put my hand, the closer. He said, it's a shadow and it becomes a hand. Now, he said, you wouldn't see the elephant, shadow of an elephant, turn into a spinning little man. He said, a shadow of an elephant means there's an elephant there. And there's a negative, there's a positive. And as new, there's got to be, New Jerusalem must be breaking on the scene of our consciousness somehow, because that's the word. I'm sorry, but that's the word. Now, don't feel bad. Just remember it's there. Now, listen. It's the same as in Revelation 21, 1 to 14, describing the holy city. And this is the same thing you see where Abraham, in Hebrews 11, chapter 8 to 10, it says, Abraham heard from God. He went out not knowing where he was going, but he knew one thing. There was a city. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't know anything else, but there was a city. How much do we know of the city this morning? Now, if you want something for a Friday night meeting, just go to the book of Psalms and the prophets and find out what they thought of Zion. How come their hearts over 2,000 years ago were blistering and burning, and ours are hardly perking like an old teapot or coffee pot? I'm not fussing at you because I got the same problem as them. I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm just bringing up questions. And they have to be relevant at this moment, or otherwise Brother Branham was a false prophet. And he wasn't a false prophet. He wasn't. So there's something wrong somewhere, but it can be rectified. Now, no one can properly deny this. And I'll tell you why, concerning this city. Because in Genesis, the first two chapters, we find the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. See, true. And in Revelation, it puts the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. And it was the thing that Adam missed and had to get to. See? So, what we're looking at is this. That the word Zoe, which we explained some time ago, we had the meetings over there in Sydney, particularly. We looked at the fact of the pneuma, which is the spirit. The suke, which is the soul. We looked at the body, which is mortal. And we found the word Zoe applies to all three. The Zoe of God is an eternal Zoe. It means that whatever God was essentially within him, in his thinking, in his makeup, he had to do something about it, and he did. And that becomes Zoe. Then you think God's going to lose this nature out here? Your cars are going to go, and your cars will never come back, but the horse will. Those electric lights will go. But the same God that made everything out here will shine forth for the light of the whole world. He said, I will lose nothing. And you lose nothing. It's all going to come back. I know I'm on the right premise, brother, sister. No detour from Eden to the New Jerusalem, though it be over 7,000 years, can't obviate the fact that the New Jerusalem was God's ultimate for himself and his own, because that's where we all end up together forever and ever. Too many like little kids. We like to taste the chocolate bars. You know what a wine taster does, and a tea taster, a good wine taster? He tastes the wine, rinses his mouth, spits it out, and says, let's take another taste. We have got too used to drinking without spitting it out for another taste. We have a casual thought within ourselves, I'd like to be someplace else and a better person, a better atmosphere. That today, what I want to impress upon our hearts, though that is good, we are looking at it to rise to the place where we are a part of getting out of here. We are New Jerusalem. Do we live and breathe it? See? It is exactly what God wanted and we wanted, though we perhaps didn't know it. He planned it, He started it, and some of us that are here will not die until we see it. That's Zoe. That's real Zoe. That's understanding Zoe for the first time outside of what? Enoch and Elijah. Jesus died. Paul died. Brother Branham died. You and I could die. But there's going to be people standing right here that are real Zoe. Imagine. No longer accidents of birth. Every one of you is an accident of birth, that's all. Had to come that way, of course. But when you stand before Him, you will stand in His likeness. We'll talk about that too. Everything about your birth is gone but the seed that caused it, which was eternal, which was elected to come through a natural means. Remember Brother Brannan told about that African? He was a slave, the black man. Nobody could figure him out because he walked with such nobility. He never complained. He did his job. He lived above the crowd. He said, what makes him that way? He said, what makes him that way, I took a long time finding out it because I found that he was the son of a king, so he acts like the son of a king. The consciousness of New Jerusalem and what we're talking about makes us understand we are sons and daughters of the king. Now, I won't cover any more than that, but last Wednesday I brought up a point because Brother Branham mentioned, God said, I want this earth populated. I want it replenished. He turned it to Noah, over to Adam and Eve. What happened? God turns right around just before Noah and destroys the whole thing. Well, that's goofy. Anybody knows something's wrong somewhere. Now He's promised He's going to destroy it all again. Then there's something wrong with the replenishing. The replenishing. Because He gave a command to do it. Now, God gave life on earth. And He put the stream of life in the male, using a female now, also, to bring forth children. It was there. And He turns around and burns them. Drowns a whole bunch. Drowns 5 billion people, maybe. Now He's going to burn up. There's over 6 billion now, and there'll be 7 billion pretty soon. There'll be 7 billion people going to burn them up. Why would God destroy when He told the people to do it? Then there's got to be something wrong with how it was done. And that's where He brought in serpent seed. That it was the serpent, the beast, not serpent, but the beast. It was so close to man that the seed could mingle. And He seduced Eve. That the Talmud tells it, the Jews believe it. The 8th chapter of John proves it. That the beast copulated with Eve and brought forth Cain. And he was of that wicked one. See? Now, I talked the other night about the black and the white marrying, which we know is wrong. I'm dead against it. Pass a law if you want. You're not going to stop it because of sex. All right, you take a black woman, a black man, a white woman. The child that's born is a mulatto. You turn around, take a white man, marries that girl, and you get a quadroon. All right, she has a baby also, it's a girl. A white man marries her, likes the color and all, which is fine. They do what they want. You have an octoroon. That one marries, you see nothing but white blood. All right, listen. Noah was the only man genetically perfect at the time of the flood. The only true human being. Then what was his wife? She had some serpent in her. What was his kids? Had it in there. After the flood, you've got nothing but a complete mixture. So God worked by election. And he followed his own seed through the human vessels. Now I ask you a question. How many people are going to be here for the fire and get destroyed if God said, you populate the earth, and he gets so mad because they populated the earth, obeying God, that he wipes them out? You see your answer? Serpent seed. Because the righteous do not die with the wicked. And the foolish virgin that are saved are killed by the serpent seed. How to down like dogs. We'll read it right here. If we ever get there, which we won't. Oh, there's your picture. All right. Now, we went then to paragraph 303. Brother Brand said, brother, sister, death doesn't change you. When you die as a Christian, you come up as a Christian. You die as a sinner, you come up as a sinner. If you're seed of God, you come up seed of God. If you're serpent seed, you come up serpent seed. You'll come up with a body that fits your own seed, who you are. Only your dwelling place changes. Remember, Samuel, he was dead and buried 2 years, was in paradise. The witch of Endor called him up, and Saul recognized him. And the witch did too. She fell upon her face. Samuel hadn't changed one bit. He was still the same Samuel, being dead 2 years. Still a prophet. Sure. And we prophesied, tomorrow you'll fall in battle, your son with you. And by this time tomorrow, you'll be with me. Tomorrow night, be with me. That's just what happens. See? Moses turns, and when Moses returns back with Elijah, and for Revelation 11, there'll still be prophets. Hallelujah. They certainly will be. Come on. There's no nothing you can do about that. See? So therefore, the great moral here, as Brother Branham says, is how identified are we with the life of Christ, and how dedicated? That's the big thing right there. He's our we don't change anything, just our dwelling place. And Brother Branham's letting you know when he comes back, he's going to be a prophet. What's he going to do when he comes back? Don't ask me. He'll do something. I can't tell you. Now for 304, we left off there, and over yonder in the land, in the city where the Lamb is the light, that's New Jerusalem. I will know you, Brother McKinney. He's talking about a man that lives up here in around Lima. And I'll know you, my people, my jewels in my crown. That's scriptural. When they come from the east and the west in this city, which is 1,500 miles square, not Jeffersonville, New Jerusalem, she'll be sitting there in the city built four square. When Christ is sitting there on the holy mount, where God sits upon the mountain, Jesus on the throne, and the golden trumpet sounds when Joseph leaves to walk down through the paradise, the children of God fall upon their knees and worship him, knowing they were redeemed by him. See? Amen. Hallelujah. And he sings, sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glory I shall behold, and what a joy will be, and so on. Now, this which we read here about the fact that you don't change what you are, you only change where you are, is based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the resurrection. So we read it. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that should be but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleased him, to every seed his own body. Now it tells you right there, the seed that you go down as is the seed you come up. If you go down as the wise virgin seed, last book of life, pure, unreserved God, you will come right in the image of Jesus Christ. What if I'm foolish virgin? You come with a body that's due then. What if I'm serpent seed? You come with a body, do that. What would happen? Lake of fire, a time of suffering, annihilation, just like the devil. Now, for reading further, Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, and of his peace and of the increase of government there be no end. Just get better and better and more peaceful. Always that. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Names be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now that's his government. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. There will be increase in peace, there will be no end. Even the animals are there. He's not going to lose anything. See? Look it up today. Never saw so many groundhogs and raccoons and possums is killed on the road today. And a bunch of squirrels. Never seen so many. These years since I saw that many out there. And it's the first time in years I've seen a male and female pheasant that shined their ringneck in a field. And I've been in a high of 34 solid years. Almost 34 years this December. Some are a lot longer than some of you people. What happened? They're dead. Man did it. Are they coming back? Yeah, they're going to be back right here. Don't worry about that. They're coming back. I'll be changed, the creature that I am. And now, changed into what? Into his glorious image, which was an outraying or the physical manifestation of light. And now, hold your thinking. I just made a nice statement there, and I wanted you to look at it. Hebrews, the first chapter. This is speaking concerning Jesus. Verse 3, God himself, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Hi, what's the brightness of his glory? That is the effulgence, the outraying, see, of what God was himself essentially as to his essential being, which is spirit and which is life. God outrayed it. In other words, the outraying signifies vibration, signifies life, movement, vitality. Now then, when it vibrated and outrayed to the extent that it would take on a physical expression, it took on Jesus. All right, just think a minute. Just think, man, before Jesus was ever in a human form, Adam already had the form that Jesus had to take. Follow me? Because it was that life. The life could produce nothing else but that. Now, that was a scintilla, a modicum. You might say the quintessence, if you want to put it that way. Quintessence sounds like it's something distilled down, and I don't like that term so much as just say a modicum. A little teensy, teensy bit, like one drop of water from the entire oceans of the world. That was Adam. That's you and me. Now watch. We are going to have a body like unto his, which means it will vibrate faster than the speed of light to go through brick walls. And will manifest the glory. You say, well, Brother Vail, what will I be doing in that? Don't ask me. But can't you let your minds go and just visualize? What it's going to be, you're vibrating today with diseases. Doctors can literally take the Curlian photographs from Russia. They photograph the aura. Brother Branham spoke of the four rings of the aura. Nobody can deny them. By the time you get to the fourth ring, you're almost dead. X-rays deplete your life. Now you got vibrations in your body. How many wake up with just kind of shaking in the morning? You ever had that? Come on, be honest with me. Fap, I have it so many times, pitiable. You know what you got to do? You got to treat yourself better. How many feel yourself shaking internally at times? Everybody does. Don't raise your hands. I know you. Vibrations. Wrong vibrations. Why, that person I don't like. That's right. Wrong spirit. Oh, can't stand the way that person does things. That's exactly right. I can't stand you either. What about God's kingdom? No problem. What are you waiting for? You are waiting for New Jerusalem, of which for the first time there are a people standing here that are literally going to inherit it. I was going to use the word latch on to it, and I'm going to use it because I like my vulgar language better than scripture language. We're going to latch on to it. Glom onto it. With greedy hands and greedy hearts. Not toward anybody here, but toward God. He turns away the full empty, but the empty he will fill. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And this is the ultimate. We're going to get there. I know I'm preaching against the brick wall this morning. Not you people. Now, don't teach me for 1 minute. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me and you. I know what you're thinking, and I know you're going along with me. And I know that you believe what I'm saying because I'm telling you the truth. And it's got to get us. Because, listen, when a stronger than the strong man, and we're pretty strong, wants to take control, he's going to do it. Okay, God is in this to do this, because this is his sovereign will to get the people there, and to have the Lamb on the throne, and all of us round their sons and daughters, and him over the throne, and before they call, I have answered. And now, don't you put it together now, God, everything is restored, and God is there in that perfect emanation. It's like a continual coming forth of Christ. And we're looking now at this same word with the same pillar of fire, moving and moving like a cyclotron to catch us up in this revelation. Because it's by faith. And faith is a revelation. Now listen, you take this sermon, Brother Branham preached, and you listen to it. And you listen to him saying, I'm bound for that heavenly land. And let him tell you, we're going to read what he says. Don't worry. I'm taking my time, always take my time, so if you... Tragic thing we got going on here, but I'm sorry for it. He just can't help it. Now, we look what he said here about this change. He said, now listen, I'm going to that city when that day comes. I'm bound for that beautiful city. Now listen, I feel the redeeming power in my whole heart now. Now what's he telling you? He's telling you he feels exactly what he was redeemed for. And I read it in Ephesians, the first chapter. And I read it in the second portion of the first chapter, who it's going to come to. The man spoke from the heart of God as the heart of God to you and me. And he's speaking now of the stimulation of revelation, as it should be, and enjoyed by all, which I say is the spirit of the new Jerusalem that gripped him that will grip us. And it's got to. Look, I say with Brother Branham, if we're not bright, there's a bright out there somewhere. If I just can teach and that's the best I do and I drop dead myself and go to hell, I'm sorry, that's exactly going to happen. Because I want to tell you, the new Jerusalem may be 1,000 years away, a little better. But I can tell you right now, there is an imminency to it in the hearts of the elect. And if it's not there, it's going to come from this, which is that sermon. Because you've got to have a seed. And remember, the tree of life has got 12 manner of fruits, so it had to have 12 manner of buds. I'm trying to show you here every single thing the man preached as under the seven seals, the seven thunders. Absolutely will bring forth in us that life and that spirit of understanding that's in there. I've got to believe that, brother, sister. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I'll go back to Pentecost. I'll start praying sick. I'll go back and do the wrong thing before God. I'll say, Lord, let me discern again. Tell the folk what's wrong, and they'll get happy, and they'll be healed. Well, you think I'm going to do that? Hogwash. I'm too old, and I'm too tired. That's in my favor. And when you get too old and too tired, you get too stubborn. You're like the old cow that lay down. She was too tired to get up. So the farmer could kick her till she died, and she just lay there and died because it was all over. Well, praise God for me being the old cow. I'm not going to go back. By the grace of God, I can't go back. Time and eternity and all their components and the effects are blending together. And we as a part of it recognize it. The specific scripture we use is absolutely Hebrews 13 and 8. And Genesis 18. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes the way he does it. And the fact that all scripture is compound. Right now, as Brother Branham said, the judge is that one. And he looked right down for 1,000 years to the white throne. As he looked at Malachi 4. Knowing it would come shortly within this generation. And he put it all the way down, neither root nor branch. Annihilation. at the white throne. As John the Baptist said, he's coming, his fan's in his hand. Thoroughly purge his garner, gather wheat, and burn. He knew it was this hour, and the hour at 1,000 years away. Compound meaning. And brother, sister, brother Branham had the same spirit, and we've got that same spirit. We are not prophets, but we got the same spirit to know the imminency of New Jerusalem. It's within our hands. We've accepted the judge. We understand it. We understand white throne. We will now understand this. You say, Brother Bale, you're pretty emphatic. You bet your sweet life I'm pretty emphatic. That's what I am. Lee Vale the emphatic. Not diaglot. The emphatic Lee Vale. Because I am basing everything on a vindicated prophet. If that is not a genuine picture, and it is, that's been authenticated. The thing is, what is it? This Bible answered back to it. The people they claim to be Jehovah, that they claim this God is Jehovah, the people who claim the name of Jesus, that answered back to the name of Jesus. I want to find something else answering back. Oh, man, I feel good right now. How about you? If you want to yell, yell. I just am too caught and pick and reserved. I'm a Canadian by birth. Now, Pete, if you want to yell, you can go to it. I wasn't at one time. I was Pentecostal. But I'm pretty stiff and starchy for certain reasons that came from my birth, and I admit it, my way I was brought up. We were brought up different. I tried to explain it to you 50 years ago. 51, 55 years ago, we were brought up different. And I mean it. We're starchy. Well, all right. The point is, I'm telling you the truth. Now, all these three, Matthew, Malachi, 2 Peter, so where's the problems he's coming? Jews are going to burn with fire, it's just the same. All of those hold with the present truth. And what is the present truth? Now, we've got time to do this, so I'm going to do it. Now, I'm sorry, we just aren't getting anywhere, but we are getting lots of wares, as far as I'm concerned. We're getting just exactly where I want you to be in your minds. And in your hearts, in my heart, I do not know. That's before God. But in your minds, I know I've got you where I want you. Now, listen. The sixth chapter of Hebrews, therefore leaving the principles, the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and a doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, a resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. We will go to perfection if God allows it. We will go to completion. We will go to completion. And the ultimate is the New Jerusalem. He's talking to this people. He said, I'm going to put you there if God allows me. But God didn't allow. So God's got to allow somebody. Elijah, only one prophet. Revelation 10:7. Revelation 22:10-14. Once that prophet comes, holy, holy, righteous, righteous, filthy, 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 and here's the city and everybody else outside. Do you understand he's talking to explicit bride, New Jerusalem? Because the foolish virgin don't get it? Now listen to me. We're come to perfection. And this will do God. God wouldn't permit it. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened and taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. All of that, my brother, my sister, having fallen away, they'll never be renewed to repent, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Doesn't that tell you that the ministry of Jesus comes back to earth without Jesus? Doesn't that tell you that is the epitomization? That is the whole thing. That is the great thing. And that's an outrage from God that never was before. His brother Branham categorically said the truth and people hated him for it. He said he had more success in my life than he had in his own concerning the ministry. William Branham flew around the world. When did Jesus? See? Now, for the earth which drinketh and the rain that cometh oft upon it bringeth forth herbs meat for them by whom is best received blessing of God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. It tells you right here, upon this generation of this prophet, there comes the burning, there comes the cursing, but there also comes the taking away. And when you go, you'll never die. So what are you? I'm Zion. I'm the ultimate. Brother, sister, we cannot rise above our thinking. We cannot rise above our... Anyway, we cannot rise above our faith. If our faith is going to be low ebb, there's going to be no power there. All right, listen, verse 305 on page 67. There will come a time, people, you will see this
we're not gathering here in vain. Now you see, Brother Vail's right on target. You follow me? Keep alert. I'm right on target. Haven't told you one lie. Haven't expressed one thing wrong. I've just amplified it for you. Right on target. Says right here, we're not gathering here in vain. We're only waiting for that time. What's he talking about? New Jerusalem. We're not going to die. What's a thousand years? One day. 24 hours. I'll be in it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, if he really is. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I wish I'd made more notes on this. I knew the psalmist said many things about Zion, but anyway, I'd read some for you this morning just to lift your hearts up. But I don't even know where it is on my concordance. But you can go home and find it. If you can't find them, just call me and I'll find them for you. You've got to be there. Everything's there I'm talking about. Because I'm talking with the prophet talked about. Oh, he said it's very, very late. No, we're only waiting for that time. See? That's the spirit of New Jerusalem coming back now. See, he's in the spirit now, preaching this sermon. It's very late, but Jesus is very, very near. And as for his glory, it's wonderful. His name should be called Counselor. Isn't that true? What's he the counselor right now? Counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire? See? I counsel you to get right and turn all these things away that you might have the prized possession. Buy all the fields to get to buy, you know, sell everything you have to get what God's got for you. Give it all away. I don't mean literally. I'm talking in terms of spirit because I don't believe the physical. That's not going to do you thing. You see? Talk about counseling. Peter counseled us. He said the scoffers are going to come. And they're going to say, where's the promise of coming? Here's the promise of the coming right now that you and I have in our hearts, what Brother Branham has about New Jerusalem. I'm a part of it. I'm as good as there. I'm it. Hey, got to understand these things. You've got to have that faith to take a hold. And you don't look at yourself and say, well, bless God, I'm a stinker. Well, you never were too sweet smelling. You're conceived in the bowels. Not a smellier place under God's high heavens like a slaughterhouse. David said, I conceived in sin, shape, and iniquity. What are you supposed to be? Some prima donna? Come out in a little tutu? Little ballerina shoes? And you're Humpty Dumpty? Fat. You're a sin-ridden, hobbled with sin type of creature like everybody else. Be honest about it. Grace. Marvelous grace. Well, I think it'd be nice if we could say like Paul, be a chief sinner even. I don't mean running around and being a fool, but look, you got to understand there's grace involved here, brother. This is the predestinating power of Almighty God. And the scoffers are saying, where is it? And I'm trying to tell you, day by day, they miss this message. Looking back and looking forward, they don't know what's going on. I've only got one thing left in this life to do, is to try to help you what's going on. I'll stand right here and try to help you what's going on. And if it doesn't even help me, I'll still do it. Brother Branham couldn't use his healing for himself. Maybe I can't use my teaching for myself. Well, it's locked in. Don't worry. It's locked in somewhere. Just got to get a little further down. Every channel's got to be closed up, see? Now, he's telling the people who is here, the great counselors here, preaching through the great prophet for 306. Now, if you think it's wonderful when we drive hundreds of miles to sit here and feed on the word, which this is only a shadow, what will it be when we live in the city with him? Now, look at you and I, we understand that there's no way you can know until you get there and are with it. If I could name you some fruit that I have eaten down in Venezuela and drunk the juice of it. You wouldn't have a clue until I gave you a drink of it. How do you know anything until it comes into manifestation? You got a baby, woman forming in you. 9-month period of gestation. They can take anything they want to try to figure the features and everything out of that child, but you still got to wait for the baby to come out. See, there's lots of things you can know, but you don't know until you really know. And that's because you are not just a part of it. The thing is right there before you. And so with this. And he said, this is just a shadow, but I want to tell you something. It's what's bringing forth the other. Don't say, well, that's just a shadow. That ain't nothing. You've got to be weary in your minds to the point of distraction. A shadow, my brother, sister, is a type. And a type means this will do till the real thing comes along. But look at this. It'll give you an idea. My, those days we'd go there so excited for the sermons. Tremendous. Just the thought of being by just made you vibrate. You know, being by a real Christian makes you vibrate. What's it going to be when we all get over there in His presence? And His likeness, when there's that perfect emanation coming out. What would it be like if two Jesus Christ stood there? Well, there'd just be one. But when you boil it down to little bits like you and me, and we stand side by side, it'd be very lovely. My, I like that. More blessed than father, mother, and children. More blessed. They'll never understand. And yet parents can understand to a degree. Yep. Just think what it was going to be to God. See, God's planned this. He's got a real stake in this. Don't worry. Wisdom and power did it. Now, getting in the divine flow is what Brother Branham is telling us here. This part of the prerequisite of the rapture. The faith of Abraham. Come on, city. Be ready in a hurry, because I'm coming. Meet you halfway. True enough. Abraham said, I'm going to get this. I'm going there. God led him. God even gave him a taste. He's Melchizedek. Came down here, and he was not a man. He was in the form of man God. He had a retinue. He had soldiers. He had people all around about him, and he must have had buildings and things. And Abraham understood by taking communion. It's the emblems. Taking what lay now, future in the city. Peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb in this room. Perfect peace in the soul. And this is our destiny, Brother Branham tells us. How much do we appreciate it? Love and feel it and live it. Well, he did, and we're on our way. See? 307. It's worth everything. The road seems rugged and sometimes it's hard, but oh, it'll be so little when I see him. So little. In other words, that little trial we have is nothing. That's true. The Bible says so. What will the bad names? And they called him a false prophet. That was the killer. I never saw a man go to pieces like that when they called him a false prophet, because he knew he was not false. Under the control of an influence of a force that spoke this. I don't know. Bad names, they said. What will it be when I see him in that beautiful city of God? He said, let's bow our heads. And he quotes, I'm bound for that beautiful city. My Lord is prepared for his own. We're all the redeemed of all ages. Sing glory around the right throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven. That's his spirit. And his glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. John in the Isle of Patmos saw it. He said, dear Jesus, this hope, my hope, built on nothing, Lord, less, Lord, than the mother of my heart. Now, what's the mother of his heart? New Jerusalem, according to Galatians 4:19. Read it for yourself. How much time we got? I'm going to read this and quit. I haven't got time for anything else. Well, as usual, we get someplace, but not very much. But we love the Lord. All right. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 19, 3rd chapter, 19, 4th chapter, 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, for Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you, and now to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? It's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by the Spirit. That's right. If God had not made a promise, that boy would not have been born. Any other child could have been. There's Cain. Abel's different. Now he said here, which things are an allegory? An extended parable. A deep illustration. For these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendered the bondage which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and after Jerusalem, which now is, and is bondage to your children. But Jerusalem, which is from above, is free. Which is the mother of us? Not all. That's the wrong word in there. See, it should be in italics. Which is the mother of us? Brother Branham said, it's my mother too. Speaking with the mouth of the Apostle Paul, speaking the very words, Alpha is Omega. Just think, the same pillar of fire that revealed that gave the word to Paul is here revealing it to us now. The same, if we can accept without any actual proof in history that this is real, that Paul was real, that there's a real God, and this is a real truth, then what about this that's been vindicated? I don't know anything about this. I wasn't there. Something in my heart made it real that this is real. This is the way I got to go. What does that mean? Something real in your heart may tell you someday, and it shouldn't be telling you. Bet on the fourth horse in the fifth race. You bet your socks. You lose your shirt. Four voices. What about that voice? I wish you'd have been in his presence who I was. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to see God in a man. Not just Christian. I'm not talking about Christian, which I love and I presume. And I have faith for also that we are all born again. That's God in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us. I'm talking about something way greater. I'm talking the pillar of fire goes into a man. There's a different story there, brothers. It's altogether a different situation. Please never let us be confused. See? Now, he says here, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry. That's Sarah. Thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath husband. Now it says, you break forth and cry because you are going to be the one who brings those children. Jerusalem's our mother. So if that's the case, where were we at one time? You had to be in the architect. Because that's just a manifestation of part of it. That's part of your and my environment. Remember, before there was a fish with a fin to swim, there had to be water. Before there was a new Jerusalem to sit in, there had to be a son and a daughter. And if you and I believe that Brother Branham was the one that spoke those seven thunders under the seventh seal, you can begin to see the spirit of this message, brother, sister. Not just, here we're learning something. This is where we are taking on something. And that is the spirit of revelation, which is the spirit of Christ. It is a true faith, which can never be defeated. All right. I'm sorry. But you know me. My apology is not worth a plug nickel. I'll do it again and again and again because I make up my notes. And I make up my notes by attempting to feel and understand what is in this, what is beneath this, what is moving. Because I'm not a prophet. And I don't want to be a prophet. But if he lets me know that I can find something that nourishes that seed, having placed the seed, then, brother, sister, life is really worthwhile. Because remember, this seed is vindicated. It is therefore germatized. It must fall in good soil. Because God would not give a seed without soil. Because before there was a soil to have a plant, there was a seed to be planted. Right? Let's rise and be dismissed. Kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us. The love you bestow upon us, the fact we can come here, Lord, and sit in this building one with another and talk these things over, be at home with each other. Just look at each other and discuss them as it were, with a little leadership up here, with your help, I presume. I hope, oh God, I'm banking on it. And then, Lord, we all come in a knowledge together. Which knowledge, Lord, is marvelous because it brings us a unity. We are not divided nor divisive, but we are unified and in ourselves, in our midst, and with thee, and with the word, and pressing on. Lord, help us all this morning to know, and to be of one accord in one mind in the understanding of this message, that we are a new Jerusalem, we are that part of it. We see the scripture all coming together, Father, and we're very grateful for it. And we appreciate it. And now, Lord, as the prophet said further on in this message, may not one person in the building be lost. May every single person come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and know that there is this heavenly home which is going to come down upon earth, and we in it. Oh God, we praise you for what we learn moment by moment and day by day, and may we never fail of it. May we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until all are changed. I thank you, Lord, for every person that came out today. And as the prophet always said, may there not be one sick amongst us. Knowing that that one day is going to happen, Lord, we need a little shadow today for the full positive of tomorrow. Since, Lord, that healing is a sign of the resurrection, may we have more. May the people this morning, Lord, simply claim your goodness and healing power this morning and say, I believe. Father, we believe with them. May your will now be done. And unto thee we ascribe the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.